Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 281.
This week on the podcast, today in Weird Trumpisms, Rex Tillerson got a tweet, and now the Cokes control the entire world.
And it's better to just go ahead and double down on your random non sequitur rant, right?
Plus, after a brutal two-week stretch, nobody's left in the White House except its second-tier idiots.
And the GOP has solved the Russia crisis by denying its existence. So, more exciting elections to come.
Plus, Betsy DeVos cannot remember if she knows what a school is, but she has heard of choice and she's for it.
And, guys, is Jeff Flake going to be our next president?
Well, we'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
You can finally find us back on the podcast, too.
I know. Here we are, guys.
We took an arbitrary two-week break.
We've had some crazy weekends.
Some crazy weekends, some travel.
Some good, some bad.
That's right. It's been a mixed bag.
It really has. But here we are. You can also find me potentially spacing out in the middle of this podcast while I check my phone. We're recording this right now, like in the last throes of the Pennsylvania special election that's going on right now.
And you know so that we love
to do breaking news. It won't be breaking when you listen to it because it'll be tomorrow morning, but it will be breaking to us and it will make us happy.
Exactly. And we love election coverage. We should be professional election forecasters, by the way. As soon as an election is even discussed, Brent becomes an expert in that district.
I called it 30 minutes ago. I'm getting a little old. Part of the reason why I'm so nervously refreshing obsessively right now is because I'm getting nervous about the call that I made.
Right, he confidently called it 30 minutes ago, and now the race is tightening.
Yeah. So during this podcast, we will probably have, unless it's tied, which it seems like it could be.
Right.
Maybe, but that's news too. That's also breaking
news.
That's
right. We'll either have news or not about the Pennsylvania special election. Either way, the news will have the news by the time you listen to this. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right.
One place where they won't be getting the news is in 10% of Puerto Rico, which still has no power.
Because they can't.
No.
Yeah.
And also, the House Natural Resources Committee is investigating corruption allegations against their power utility company.
Yeah.
This has been too messy. It's March. It's mid-March.
Yeah.
Why doesn't 100% of Puerto Rico have power?
An Easter miracle.
That's right.
They're going to rise from the dead like Jesus.
That's right.
And have power.
A story that Brent will, I am sure, explain to me when the time comes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They're
going to have zombie power in Puerto
Rico,
finally.
5 years in, and he will still be telling me about
the story of Easter. Well, I enjoy
it. Story of Easter. That's right. And I enjoy relearning how absurd it is every single year.
Sure.
But we actually did have breaking news today.
I know.
Which is we
almost were going to record this last night, and then we got extremely lazy and we just had dinner instead.
Right. We went to Thai food instead.
And then we woke up this morning and Rex Tillerson had been fired via Twitter.
Thank God we didn't.
You would have been listening to... you can't... Like, every day... You know what? But tomorrow morning it will also be something
every
different.
Every day's an
so
adventure.
So it's like, you can't... There's no good bet of a night to record this thing on.
No, that's true.
There isn't.
The 6 a.m. news can fuck up your
really,
flow anytime.
Really can.
So Tillerson is out. He learned not just via Twitter, but via secondhand Twitter. He learned because a White House aide showed him Twitter.
Right. It's not like Rex Tillerson is checking Twitter.
No, because he's a grown-up.
Right. He's a grown-up. And he's also... Somebody probably had to wake him up from a nap.
Right. He's sleepy. He's a sleepy grown-up.
Yeah.
But now Mike Pompeo is going to be the Secretary of State, which is problematic. Not only because Mike Pompeo is the member of Congress that received the most money from the Cokes of anyone.
Right.
But also because Mike Pompeo is like a loon-nut, hawkish, crazy person.
That's right.
Who really buys into the Trump worldview of everyone being scary and us needing to go to war with all of them.
Correct. That's it.
Apparently John Kelly did tell Tillerson on Friday to cut his trip to Africa short because he may get a tweet. I like getting a tweet is like a euphemism for being fired in the Trump administration.
Right? May get it right. it's the new pink slip.
Exactly. Getting a tweet. Tillerson was kind of an interesting character, though. He was completely ineffective, so
he
rarely talked about him aside from his napping skills.
Also in this, but
he was more in the world than Trump is.
Right. I mean, like, he was ineffective, and we obviously, this is not to say he was a good Secretary of State.
No. You'll never catch us saying that.
And he certainly wasn't because of his ineffectiveness.
Right.
But he also sort of like wasn't on the level of like insane wackoness that I think a lot of us were expecting him to be up to. And part of the reason why he got his tweet was because he was sort of on the wrong side of Trump
on everything.
A lot of things.
Yeah, he had been when there was that situation in Saudi Arabia and Qatar's like weird little situation. He and Trump came down on different sides on that. The response to Russia's cyber aggression.
Right.
He was not for ignoring it as hard as right. Trump was.
Exactly.
He was in favor of staying in the Paris Climate Accords.
Yep.
He was trying to get
in favor of staying in the Iran deal.
Yeah, he was in favor of staying in the Iran deal.
Which is why a lot of people think that this happened now, because Mike Pompeo is very anti-Iran deal. And that
of all deals.
Of all deals. But that's coming up to have to be reauthorized.
Yeah.
So it seems like the timing was, you know, the writing was on the wall here, sort of, because, like, he needed somebody in there who was
going to
be with him on that.
Is that Trump recently announced, without Tillerson's knowledge, that he was going to be meeting with Kim Jong-un. Or in talks with Kim Jong-un in May. And he sprung that on Tillerson.
Right.
So that was maybe a sign
that
things they were a little bit on the outs. But I think
that's something that you tell the State Department about.
Yeah, that's just one of the things that you try, your chief diplomats, you want
that's
them
right.
to know about that.
Yeah.
But he, I think, didn't tell him because he wasn't intending to include him in those talks.
He wasn't. That's why.
And they had some weird issues anyway, because Tillerson actually used to be the head of the Boy Scouts. And so when Trump delivered that crazy Boy Scout speech that's Brent's favorite piece of political theater in history, he was kind of like, what the fuck, man?
Right.
And then also, when Trump didn't denounce the Charlottesville, like, bigotry riots, he didn't say that he denounced them, but he did say that Trump, quote, speaks for himself.
That's right.
He was one of the only members of the cabinet that was like, nah, man.
Right.
It's not about me.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right.
And so
one of the other ones is also gone. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, apparently sticking by Trump during that whole Charlottesville thing was not worth it.
No, it wasn't.
Getting your white supremacist cred was not worth the trouble with this guy. But the purge also included the Undersecretary of State for Public Affairs, Steve Goldstein.
Sure.
We're not really sure what happens to Tillerson's chief of staff and his deputy chief of staff either.
Sure.
And at the CIA, Mike Pompeo is going to be replaced by the current deputy director, Gina Haspel, who's the
first woman
to leave the CIA. And also, she comes from inside the agency, so it is more of a sort of vote of continuity than Pompeo was.
Right.
Because
he
was a very political choice and brought a brand of politics an agency that's supposed to be fairly apolitical.
That's right.
And can be used for evil quite easily.
Right.
So this is sort of an interesting thing in making such a splashy choice for Secretary of State to kind of tamp down on some of the intelligence, especially because he doesn't trust the CIA.
Well, that's what
I have an insider appointed.
And there, I think, is the most important thing, actually, because you would think that as much as he has been at war with the intelligence community, that if you're going to appoint somebody to be the head of the CIA, you pick someone who hasn't been there already.
Yeah.
So,
but maybe he was trying to stop the war by not having a person who everyone in the CIA actively works to undermine leading the CIA. He had been thinking about Tom Cotton at one point.
Oh, God.
That would have been. Don't appoint Tom Cotton to anything.
No.
Let him. Don't even elect him to anything.
No, definitely don't.
Let him fade into the background of your life and just find someone else. But so Tillerson, as a person who never had much of an agenda in the White House, left
Than to nap on planes.
He was napping on planes. He was napping in Asia. He was napping all over the world. He was a man who loved to nap and loved Russia.
Yeah.
And he was an oil man. So, you know, he loved making money, too.
That's right.
But he didn't really have any, like, diplomatic
goals. Back to that now.
Exactly. He did talk about America First a lot, but he never defined what he meant by that.
No.
And then also at one point suggested they cut 30% of the State Department's funding, and Congress was like, no. And then he was like, oh, okay. So
he also hasn't used any of the State Department's money to
fund personal travel for himself.
Oh, no, to stop Russian meddling.
Oh,
remember that whole story?
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. So he really has just actually, you know, he hasn't really worked to undermine America necessarily, but he hasn't worked to mine anything either. to overmine it.
To overmine it.
No.
And he did at one point on company time call Trump a moron.
That's true.
Trump didn't like that.
No.
But yeah, he was terrible at everything. Foreign diplomats from other countries were always like, we can't get him on the phone. And he doesn't return our calls. He sets up meetings without any warning and then like doesn't show up at them. We ended random talks without explanation. Like, we were having talks about nuclear weapons with Pakistan, and we just, like, stopped when he took over.
Part of me just, like, really loves him as, like, a character.
He is, like, the most caricature-y secretary. Yeah. For somebody who doesn't share any goals or priorities with the Trump administration, he was very entertaining. And some final food for thought in all of this. There are two editorials in the Times today.
Yeah.
That are like, you know, one is like an editorial board editorial. One's an op-ed. Yeah. And these are their headlines. They were right next to each other. Front page of the Times today. Trump may make America miss Rex Tillerson. is the one of the editorial board. God. And where does Mike Pompeo stand on the issues? Too close to Trump. So that's what we're
grim.
That's what we're looking you guys.
Yeah.
And we're going to need some diplomacy.
That's right.
Because we've started an unnecessary trade war.
Yeah, we're
for
in a war.
Reasons that have more
not
to do
with, bombs,
with
but
Trump's
with tariffs.
Random ravings than anything.
That's right.
He just like randomly, he was like raging about a bunch of stuff last week and then just announced he was going to put a 25% tariff on steel.
Yep.
And then
a 10%
on aluminum. And then I think because everyone was like, no, he just like doubled down on it and actually did it. Yeah. I think we could have, if we had just not done anything, not said anything, I think he might have forgotten that he had said this because it was in the midst of him ranting about Kushner.
Right.
He was angry at Kushner at the time.
Yeah.
Kushner, by the way, we haven't been recording since the Kushner situation broke down and we don't have any stories about it, but Kushner is on the fucking, we talked about it very briefly on our last podcast. He's
on the outs.
On the outs.
On the potentially going to prison outs.
Yeah. He's on a lot of people's outs. Trump's, ours.
Mueller's.
The world. But so in any case, Trump was like raving around the White House, like complaining about this. And then decided he was going to put a tariff on steel because that nothing solves the problem of a shady businessman inside your White House like putting steel tariffs.
Well, and this is another thing where like a lot of certainly not the sort of there's such weird alliances on this because like you have like a lot of, you know, there's free traders on both sides here. But
and there's crazy people on both sides.
And there's crazy people on both sides and there are, you know, people like Bernie Sanders on both sides.
Right.
Sort of, but I mean, like, but
the opposite of free traders.
But the opposite of free traders, yes. But like, there, it sort of like takes me back to that moment where he had done something like this or announced that he was like going to pull out of some agreement or something. I don't remember specifically what it was, but it was like right before Davos, and Al Gore was like, "I agree with him, but like, don't just be like announcing like random unilateral shit like this." And like, that's where I feel like I'm at on this because, like, I mean. Yeah, you know, he ran on this to a degree, like that, you know, American industries were, like, being treated unfairly. But there are ways to deal with it as opposed to just sort of, like, waking up one morning and then, like, announcing these things. Well, and then because, like, you can't do these things unilaterally because, like...
No, and you also can't do it without considering the sort of second wave consequences.
Well, that's what I was going to say because there's always a response to this and it inevitably
and also,
is...
we not only import steel to, you know, that competes with our steel industry, but we import steel to make things out of steel that are made here.
Exactly.
Like cars.
Yes. Like
so
cars.
It,
yes.
You can't...
Beer cans.
Beer cans.
By the way.
America is panicking, you guys, because the beer can situation might get... out of hand.
The aluminum.
The aluminum in your beer can could get astronomically
more
expensive.
Immediately these countries were sort of like, okay, well, we're going to stop. Part of the reason why Ron Johnson is one of the people who is, like, not super into this is because, like, I can't remember which country, but they were like, well, like, sorry, we don't want your milk anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, you, there's a reason that, you know, we can debate until the cows come home whether we think the WTO and NAFTA are things that we should or shouldn't be involved in, but... the existence of them currently
makes this complicated.
Makes this complicated and makes, like you said, the potential consequences for this, you know, problematic.
Well, wait, you know, if you are going to do something like this, where you're going to take a really protectionist economic measure like this and make it law, in an environment where free trade is sort of the law of the land, you have to be willing to not only protect the industry that you're trying to protect, but the ancillary industries that are affected by your decision.
Like, is he really prepared to sort of, like, also fund whatever, you know,
To do it in a way where you don't start a fucking trade war.
Right.
Because there are a lot of things that we export as well that include things that you would think weren't related to this, but could become related to this any moment, like wine.
Right.
You know,
we
live in California. We export a lot of wine.
Yeah.
Wine is one of America's exports. And we want to be able to export our wine to places where they drink wine. And we want those places to want to buy our wine.
Yeah.
But a lot of these are places that also produce things that may or may not want to sell us steel or sell us aluminum or sell us whatever other thing gets caught in the crossfire here.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to sort of think like, okay, if I do this and a trade war starts, how am I going to protect the auto industry? How am I going to protect the wine industry?
Yeah.
You know, like, how am I going to protect the beer industry from the rising cost of aluminum?
Right.
How am I going to protect my own business because I use Chinese steel all the fucking time,
Exactly.
Miss Donald Trump?
Right.
Like, that's the thing that was so curious to me about this, is that he did this, and he's one of the worst abusers of this policy.
Right, of course.
So it's so bizarre because...
Well, and he always talked about that, too, because... And he would be like, yeah, well, that's because, like, I was able to within the system. I love it when people are always like, that's the reason that I'm the best person to fix this, because I've been
abusing the system forever.
Right, exactly, yeah. That's why I'm best to fix immigration, because I've been using, you know...
Because I've been, right, cause I've been using loopholes to import foreign labor and underpay them for decades. Yeah, exactly. But it does feel... So there is a wing of the Republican Party that is thinking, like, we should just stop him from doing this.
Well, it's really... The Jeff Flake wing. To be honest, it's 90% of the Republican Party. But it's just, like, they don't know what to do. And they're scared because they know that this is one of the main reasons why he won. And they would also, like, just personally to continue themselves winning.
Right.
So it's like...
They too, like... Well, the reason that the person who's introducing the legislation is Jeff Flake.
Right.
Is because he doesn't care about winning.
Right.
This is lame duck Jeff Flake. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And so... A lot of the pushback is being orchestrated by people who have nothing to lose because the rest of them are fucking terrified.
Right, exactly. Because
this is a very confusing moment,
right?
Like all of these moments have been, to be a Republican.
Yeah.
But it's also a confusing moment to be a Democrat because there is a world in which they could get a veto-proof majority to pass something that's like, no, dude.
Right. Because, yeah, that's the thing.
Like, nobody wants these tariffs.
Right, and that's what I think McConnell is sort of like trying to figure out. Out right now, and
it's
I was gonna say, I can't say that I blame him. Like, do you really want on a thing that is one of his defining issues? Do you really want to? Because they need his signature, obviously, which they would not get clearly. So it's like, do you want to try and override your own party's president on like one of his main issues just because you disagree with him and you could?
Right.
I don't know. I mean...
Maybe you do, though, if... here's the thing. They have no foresight, so this is problematic for them regardless. But, like, this is going to create problems for them in the long run. Because this policy is stupid.
Well, and this is not who they are as a party either. So I think sort of, like, if you're thinking long term, which they don't because they only want to save their jobs, and that's not a Republican problem. That's a Democratic problem, too. But, if you're thinking long term about sort of who you are as a party or what at least you have been as a party, then maybe it does make sense to do this. But if you're only sort of like thinking of saving your own hides, then you definitely don't.
No. And I'm one, like, where is the moment? Because this is all happening at an interesting juncture because the Mueller investigation is ramping up. Everything seems to be falling apart at the White House. We're about to tell you the story of every person in the White House leaving the White House this last 2 weeks.
Right. outside of Rex Tillerson.
Outside of Rex Tillerson.
Yeah.
Like, at what point is it not worth holding on to this when his defining issue may not be a winner for you in the long run?
Right.
Because he may not be a winner for you.
Right, exactly.
But they're having a hard time finding that line.
Right.
I would contend that line passed months ago.
I would agree.
But... What do they know? Right. I would contend that tax bill was the kind of boondoggle that could screw them over for generations to come.
Yeah.
But again, you know, they're playing the game. So maybe, you know, maybe that's not how they see it. But this is definitely a sort of bizarre juncture for them to stand up for him also.
Right.
And I also feel like they have other options. They can basically kind of threaten to hold up his nominees. You know, Mike Pompeo is going to have to be approved. So is the new director of the CIA.
Yeah.
Like, these are all... things that, you know, they have sort of procedural things that they could do to kind of put pressure on Trump.
It would be real interesting to uphold Mike Pompeo.
I know.
Since they already approved him.
I know.
Like, that would be...
That would be a real...
Yeah.
I'm ready for some drama, though, you guys.
Right? Let's get into it.
I mean, things are getting so fucking dramatic anyway.
I was going to say. I love that you were like, I'm ready for some drama. I'm like, what has been going on the last 2 years?
I just, like, I want drama from... Like, I want them to stop walking in lockstep with him and do something dramatic themselves.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the White House drama. I want Congress to be like, we can be dramatic too.
I think when it's going to happen is after the midterms.
Yeah.
Probably.
Because they need to win the midterms and they need to figure out what...
Maybe in the direct lead up to the midterms.
When they realize that they're not polling well.
As a loser.
Yeah. Which I think will be.
Well, I think it will be too.
I mean, running with the Democrats is always a loser. So this is more a question of who's going to lose harder.
Yeah.
But I feel like they could lose harder.
Yeah. Speaking of elections,
P.S.
Remember when we were joking that this might be tied at the end of this podcast?
Is it?
Basically.
God.
It's within 1,000 votes over, like, the over, and, you know, 210,000 have been
passed. I just learned the name of three out of those four counties for the very first time today. Right. So I can't speak.
And 96% of the votes are in. God. So
this is a real situation.
The Democrat is ahead by the 1,000 votes, though.
Here's the thing, so. Also.
God, are we going to have a fucking recount?
Oh, my God. But also, even if we don't, this was a district Trump won.
20
this,
points.
20 points.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, and this is also.
This is a 20-point swing regardless of what happens right
and
now.
And also, as I remembered earlier, that whoever wins this election gets to have their job until November.
When they have to run in a completely new district.
When they have to run in a completely different district because Pennsylvania had to redraw their map. Yeah. Or the court redrew it for them because
they were gerrymandering.
GOP wouldn't draw it themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
And we still live in a world where Alabama has a Democratic senator.
That's right. So I mean, like, would I like Connor Lamb to be winning this seat?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. It would make me feel good. But like, also, if the fact that it's this close, do I feel good about the new district that this person is running in? Trump only won by 3 points in 2016. Yeah, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, actually. A 20-point swing, really.
Right.
If you look at the map of where the Democratic swing is happening, it's the whole map.
Right. Yes,
so the New York Times has an interesting map. Yeah. In any case, here's some other news.
On. Yeah.
Because of this tariff situation, yes. Gary Cohn left.
Right. Who was, you know,
he was.
There were few thinking people in the White House.
You had
and,
to.
And
be...
I'm using the, and it's a reach. Gary Cohn. He's like he's a sort of huge. You know, he used to work at Goldman Sachs, I believe.
He's
like he's a
he's
banker.
The swamp.
He's that right.
He's the literal
he's
swamp.
The swamp. But he was at least, for a long time, part of the Democratic swamp.
Right.
I mean, he was a person who considered himself a Democrat. He was one of the people that Steve Bannon rightly called
the Democrat.
A Democrat when he was referring to people as Democrats with Jared Kushner. And Gary Cohn was on that list,
yep.
Which wasn't a very clever nickname because Gary Cohn was, in fact, a Democrat.
Right.
So, you know, Gary Cohn was one of the people who you sort of wanted there to, like, accidentally have a good idea every once in
yeah.
a while.
You just wanted him to be in the room
right.
so that somebody you know, was not actively pursuing
right.
stupidity at the
exactly.
pace of a
like,
Trump.
Would I be shocked to find out that Gary Cohn was wrong on
everything?
9 out of 10 things?
Yes.
No,
I mean,
wouldn't
no,
be.
Right.
But I would feel more comfortable knowing that he was in the room while the wrong decision got made for some reason.
I feel like
that's my delusion,
also,
but like
there's
there was
levels
something
of wrongness.
Right, exactly.
He was sort of like, if wrongness is a 1 to 10 scale, with 10
right.
being the wrongest wrong
right.
and 1 being almost right, he
right.
was like a 5,
yeah,
whereas Trump
was...
is like a 9.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, and he was sort of like, he was a little bit of continuity because he's essentially just a rich banker, sort of like, you know, like moderate to conservative financial
right.
person.
Yeah.
Which is what the Clintons are. It's what
yeah,
Obama
it's what
was.
What Obama ultimately
it's...
ended up. Fancy
well, always was.
Right,
I
yeah.
mean, to some degree, he
yeah.
just didn't declare what his economic policy was early on, so we weren't aware
we
of
no.
it. But
no.
But like he was kind of the ilk that all presidents are,
right.
including Bush. Like he's
sure.
you know he was in that realm.
Yeah,
he was in the realm of like normal political
right.
discourse.
Yes,
and stupid political discourse
yeah.
for sure.
He
things that have not been. Working.
He didn't want to blow the whole thing up.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
He was the swamp. He
right.
didn't want to drain it because he was the swamp.
Right.
But so in any case, he wasn't that distraught after Charlottesville, apparently.
No.
Because he had talked about leaving then, but didn't do it. So
I know. The thing that
racism
really
isn't
said
what gets him.
I was going to say, yeah, it wasn't both sides when one side is Nazis.
Right.
You know, being equivalent. It was tariffs.
It was tariffs. It was trade tariffs.
Right. Yeah.
Like the economic wonk that he is.
Yeah.
Like
that's
the economic
the,
advisor
that's
he was.
That's the problem with not leaving when some serious shit like that happens.
Yeah.
That when you
if
do leave
you...
or get fired, like, you're the guy who left because
you care more about the steel industry than black
some...
people.
There it is. That's it.
I mean, yep. that's why he left.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about people of color or
yeah.
women or just people.
Right.
He cares about steel.
That's
the
right.
steel industry.
Right.
And not the car
and
industry and not the washing machine industry. I mean, none of the other industries.
No.
He just cares about money.
That's right.
Yeah. And he cares. He doesn't even care about the steel industry. I got that wrong because the steel industry is the one industry that might benefit
right.
from these tariffs.
Well, he did because he claimed that this was going to hurt the steel industry.
Oh, right.
And
yes.
actually,
it
I think had
will.
A last ditch effort to like get a bunch of leaders who disagreed with this from the steel industry in to meet with Trump, and then that never happened. And that was part of the one
That's,
of the reasons why he like actually
you have
ended
to
up
be
leaving.
The last person in the room with him.
Right.
If we've learned anything in the first 5 minutes of his presidency,
yeah,
it's that.
I know.
I just like. People, if you can't, and Hope Hicks is gone, so he could just walk in.
Right.
Hope Hicks and
That's
Trump's
right.
top aide is, or Trump's
yep.
Personal aide is gone
yes.
as of today.
Oh, yeah, right.
He got escorted out because his security clearance got revoked along with everyone else at the White House.
Yeah.
But the other person to leave that was a great loss to the wonderful White House that is the Trump administration was Hope Hicks.
Former model.
Former model and PR analyst or PR assistant.
And Trump whisperer.
And Trump whisperer, Hope Hicks.
That's right.
29 she's, years old.
Right. She's been with him since 2005, so when she, since she was a genius 25-year-old.
2015.
2015, that's what I meant. Sorry. Yes. Yes.
2005.
Yikes. No.
She was... Right. That's grim. Yeah. But and she had worked at Ivanka's company, so we know that she's a wild success because Ivanka is one of the great business leaders of our time.
That's right.
But she had been sort of making noise like she was going to leave. And then finally, in the same week that everyone left, she too
and not only in the same week that everyone left, but in the day after, she had an 8-hour testimony to the House Intelligence Committee where she basically admitted to the fact that Trump sometimes asked her to lie for him and she would.
Yeah.
Which is quite an admission from your communications
if
person.
If somebody was like, you know what, Hope? You should leave now because you're too pretty for jail. Or you know, like,
exactly. If you don't leave, you're going to get a tweet.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want a tweet. But so she left on better terms with him than Gary Cohen.
Yeah, they both
or
sent
Tillerson.
Very lovely.
But that's because he's in love with her.
Well, right, exactly, yes.
And also because she's lied for him multiple times.
That's right.
And the last person that he wants speaking to Mueller is a person who's repeatedly lied for him, which is probably going to be the first person who speaks to Mueller.
Yeah.
Now that she's free and out in the world.
Yeah.
She's somebody who I feel like could easily be a turncoat on Trump.
For sure.
I mean, like, I see the Manafort thing coming. I know that he keeps pleading not guilty, but I just I don't see a world in which he doesn't save himself at some level. Like, if the option is, like, you can do 6 years in jail or you can do life in prison.
And everybody has already given him up. Anyway,
exactly.
So,
right.
Like,
we don't even need him.
He has to know that
he's guilty.
Is toast.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's as guilty as, and maybe he's pleading not guilty because he doesn't have any information. Maybe he doesn't know anything.
Maybe
he's dumb.
Well,
he's a little dumb.
I was gonna say, if you were, it wouldn't take much convincing for you to convince me that he was a true know nothing.
Yeah.
Paul Manafort.
I mean, I feel like, he might just be guessing that everyone has already given up everything he knows because he knows so little. So maybe he was just like, I'll just keep pretending nothing happened and see where I get with that. But in any case, the Trump-Russia investigation is getting more exciting.
Yes.
Because now Mueller's team is examining a meeting that took place in January of 2017, which I want to remind you is when Trump took
office.
In the Seychelles.
Yes.
Which is fancy.
I was thinking,
that involved Eric Prince, Blackwater founder, a Russian official, and an effort to create back channels to the Trump administration.
To the Kremlin.
The Trump administration.
From the Kremlin to the Trump administration.
Here's the thing, and isn't Eric Prince Betsy DeVos's sister, brother?
That's right. Yeah.
So this also just extends that, like, Eric Prince is somebody who's implicated in the Trump world for many reasons.
Yeah.
Not only
and
because
he's the one who's, like, come to Trump and, like, has presented plans to, you know, because he's Blackwater, basically has presented plans to, you know, go in and basically take over all of the Middle East and do whatever it is that Blackwater is, like,
up
looking
to
get up to.
Nobody ever knows with that.
Right, exactly.
But it was organized by George Nader, who's a Lebanese-American businessman.
Right.
And is now cooperating with the Mueller investigation.
Right.
And so this is a curious and concerning thing. Not only because taking foreign money for an American campaign is illegal, but also because setting up a situation where you are cooperating with a foreign government while running a campaign is just morally shady.
Right. Because you don't... The thing is that when you are taking over as the administration that is, you know, quote-unquote leading the free world...
Right.
You no longer need a back channel to the Kremlin... Because you have a front channel to the Kremlin.
You can just call the Kremlin.
You can, like, now you're the president now, so you can just call them. Just
go ahead and give them a phone call.
That's
so needing a back channel to the Kremlin implies that you needed to do something you couldn't
do
on
the
front channel.
There it is.
And
that's it.
That's the kind of activity we're looking for here.
That's right. That's what
front channel
that's what
activity.
Is all about.
No problem
we don't care
there.
About that.
We don't care about the front channel activity.
No.
Whatever they were openly discussing with the Russians is of no business of ours.
Irrelevant.
The back channel activity
That's what we're looking for.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
But don't worry. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Because the House GOP, they're done. Devin
Nunes. The Russia probe's over.
Done.
Well, Nunes had to recuse himself, remember? So now it's just like it's faceless.
No collusion. Nothing happened.
All set.
Wiping our hands. Moving on.
Adam Schiff is less than pleased with this result.
Sure.
By the way, the whole thing is so Watergate. To shut down an investigation prematurely, right, as we're coming to the most exciting part of the actual investigation, and be like, nope, nothing to see here.
That's right.
We've just washed our hands of the whole thing. Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah.
And Schiff has been all over the place raging about this, obviously.
Yeah.
Because this is the silliest possible time to make this announcement, because the Mueller investigation is getting more interesting by the moment.
That's right.
They talked to Sam Nunberg.
Sam Nunberg talked to everyone.
Paul Manafort potentially is still going to plead guilty at some point, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably.
They are going to talk to, aren't they talking to Kushner at some point soon? Like, I mean, there are some exciting interviews coming up.
Yeah.
And I contend that there are also going to be some exciting indictments coming up.
Yeah, I agree.
And so this is a weird time for the House to be like, nope, nothing to see here, because it's not credible.
That's right.
If they had done this 5 months ago, we might have been like, oh, okay.
No.
They just didn't look hard. But now it's like, now they're just actively trying to subvert the process.
Exactly.
Like, it's obvious.
We know it's not over.
Right. Like, it's like,
like, you're not ahead of the special prosecutor.
No. Like, that's not how facts work.
That's not what happened.
Or investigations work. So they're trying to just wrap this up before the midterms, but it's literally impossible for them to do that when there's a more credible investigation happening beside them in the news.
I mean, on some level, but they weren't really doing anything anyway.
No,
so
it was just like a
whatever.
Silly
just
battle
fine.
Of memos.
Wrap it up. I don't care. If it was costing money, then let's just stop.
Yeah,
because
you weren't looking at anything.
It was a sham to begin with.
Yeah. I am sad it's gone, because there were so many
fun
news
things
moments
that came from this.
When Nunes went rushing to the White House and the memos. I mean, there were so many fun acts of political theater that had nothing to do with anything. That it was more a sideshow anyway.
Yeah,
but kind of an entertaining one.
Yeah.
I was kind of into it.
We like a good sideshow.
Yeah. I mean,
podcast.
That's what a GOP run Congress is.
Yeah,
is like a lot of fun sideshows.
Yeah,
and I'm here for it.
Obviously.
So I'm kind of sad that only the serious investigations are left. Now we're just gonna hear depressing facts about how America's.
I know. Are we gonna get to ever report on Devin Nunes again?
I mean, yes.
Probably.
That man is not going away.
No, he's not. You're right.
I'm not worried. I'm not worried about that, and I'm also not worried that Trump will keep his word on any other issue going forward, because he's also now backpedaled on guns.
No, he has backpedaled. Like, to the point where I don't think we ever...
He shouldn't have even frontpedaled on this one, because it didn't make any sense to do that.
No. Well, and also he says, this is the thing where, like, what he should stop doing is having meetings about things where there are cameras around.
Yeah, in public
because,
or private,
because
but also
he
in public.
But definitely in public, because he doesn't ever, and when I say ever, I mean ever,
truly
know what he's talking about. This is when he, you know, accidentally wanted to have a clean DACA bill when he was sort of, when Dianne Feinstein, you know,
was
tricked
next
him into such. And had to have somebody be like, oh, well, no, that's not actually. And then he was like, oh, right. I mean, he advocated for police officers to be taking guns away from people before there was even a criminal act done. In that meeting. Think for a second. Had Barack Obama said that we wanted government workers to be taking guns away from people before crimes had been committed, there would have been...
The world...
He would have been assassinated.
Yeah.
Actually.
The whole fucking country would have exploded.
There would have been, a real militia...
Yeah.
On the lawn of the White House.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what he advocated for.
Right.
He also,
in his words. Using his words on camera.
He also advocated for raising the age.
Yeah, to 21.
From 18 to 21. He advocated for a lot of things that were on the wrong side of the NRA and the wrong side of his own party. He also said
after meeting with the NRA.
Right.
He met with the NRA, then he met with the kids, and then he met with the NRA
again,
and they were like,
so they got the last
slow
word.
Slow your roll.
That's right.
And it's like, somebody should have just gotten a kid in there.
Because he even accused his own party of kowtowing to the NRA.
Yeah. He was real talking up a storm for a while.
And now we get his actual proposals for what we're going to do about guns.
Which is nothing. We're going to arm teachers.
We're going to arm more teachers.
Right.
Yep.
Which is, I believe some states are now considering, I think California is one, bans on arming teachers.
Good. I like
which
it.
Which is like,
it.
Now we're just having like meaningless
yeah, that's right.
legislative wars.
Yeah.
Which is okay because he's in California as we speak.
Yeah.
We are recording this during a protest.
Yeah.
In Beverly Hills against yeah. him being in California.
Yeah.
It's raining, so probably no one showed up.
Nobody's there.
But it he came to California, as we're going to talk about in a second, to look at wall prototypes.
Look at walls.
Yeah. He's just here yeah. to annoy us, basically.
Yeah.
But in any case, his proposal, which he released yesterday, Monday,
yeah.
is mostly just a very minor improvement to the background check system, which is something the NRA is always claiming they're going to do.
Right.
And then a bill, then arming teachers. And that
That's
just, it. He just kicks that to Betsy DeVos. So, like, the whole thing is just kicked to Betsy DeVos, who's right. not to be trusted with this
right.
information. And then Sarah Sanders was asked about it, and she was like, well, the door isn't closed to raising the age. But the door isn't, like, the door isn't open either. It's just,
right.
like, the door doesn't exist. like.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, that's, Betsy DeVos is in charge of that decision now.
Yikes.
So.
And there's no way, there's no way to know what she thinks, because she doesn't know what she thinks. We'll get to that in a little bit, too.
Well, exactly. But, like, literally, I'm going to read a quote that he said to Fox News.
Sure.
Because this was not a... He didn't just say this to please CNN.
Right.
This was something he said to Fox News 10 days ago.
Yeah.
I think we'll have a great bill put forward very soon having to do with strong background checks. And perhaps we'll do something on age, because it doesn't seem to make sense that you have to wait until you're 21 years old to get a pistol, but to get a gun like this maniac used in the schoolyard, you get that at 18. That doesn't make sense. And I agree.
It
doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Sometimes, you know, when he's just straight talking out of his head,
that's when
he accidentally stumbles on something.
Idea.
Right.
Sometimes he also
stumbles on a fake fact that he made up.
Right. Or
it's hard to know with him.
Wanting to kill people who sell drugs.
That's right.
Or, you know, you can't know.
You can't know where you're going to go with him?
No. Part of the excitement.
Part of the excitement.
Part of the terror.
Part of the horror, yeah. But so, in any case, once again, and why anyone would have spoken to him about any issue, including this, is a mystery to me at this point, because he's literally useless.
Yeah.
We have been let down by Donald Trump's wavering loyalties when
That's
it comes
right.
to having an idea.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't have a lot of hope about this North Korea peace deal.
Right, exactly.
So we mentioned earlier
I have a lot of hope about seeing the two of them in a room together,
God.
Though.
Trump is going to be so excited
to
meet...
They both are.
A
Can
dictator in his own mold.
It's going to be amazing.
Trump
and
wants
like,
to be God so badly.
And, you know,
and this guy is literally a god in his country.
I know. And Kim Jong-un has... You know that while he's pretending to hate him, has seen every episode of The Apprentice.
For
I mean,
sure.
Like, this is...
Kim Jong-un was just a chubby kid in Switzerland who loved basketball.
That's right.
And grew up to be a megalomaniac,
that's
which
right.
is so
who,
similar to the Donald
who
Trump
loves
story.
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
And
more than life itself.
I mean, this is... I feel like...
This could be...
We might get ourselves... We might just not only get a peace deal, we might... somehow find ourselves in an alliance that we're not comfortable with.
You know what this is going to definitively be, though? It's great ratings.
That's right.
That's one thing that I can
ratings.
Confirm. Donald Trump knows how to draw the ratings better than any person who makes
That's
up
right.
ratings in the whole world.
I was
going
to say, he knows how to make them up better than anyone.
But I believe that he, in this situation, might win the ratings war.
I think so, too.
This is going to be great ratings.
Yeah.
So if that was his goal, was to destabilize the world by causing great ratings, then I commend him because he's going to achieve that when he meets with Kim Jong-un in May.
Yeah, that's right.
He may also not meet with Kim Jong-un in May.
Just
They're
going to
meet by May potentially.
Sure, right, yeah, exactly.
So that has that's a sentence with no definitive details in it.
And they've walked this forward and backward
and
forward
roundward.
And backward and moonwalked it.
Right.
And they've done all the forms of walking.
Right.
That you can do
right.
about whether this meeting is or isn't going to happen.
I feel like both of them understand great ratings, and both of them, because of that, are looking to ramp up the drama as much as possible.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a chance, they're sort of indicating they might be willing to talk about not getting rid of their nuclear arsenal, but leaving it to inspection, or letting us inspect it, or letting the international community inspect it. It's unclear what they're willing to offer, because they're just saying a lot of shit right now to drive ratings.
Yeah.
So... This is, the more I think about this, the more I call, I mean, obviously this is bullshit. Like, I'm not suggesting that I'm having a brilliant thought here, but I feel like I am, the more that I like look at it through the lens of ratings, the more bullshitty it seems, where I'm now just like able to see that these are choreographed moves to specifically drive ratings interest in this.
Yeah.
Which is the only thing either of them are any good at. So to be fair, this is their wheelhouse.
That's it.
They're not going to be good at signing a deal.
No.
They don't
no.
know how to write a deal. Like, that's no. not a real thing.
Right.
But they're going to make television together.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, and here's a segue. Speaking of making television together.
Yeah.
Betsy DeVos and 60 Minutes.
That's right.
A match made in
hell. That's
Betsy right. DeVos is a person who gave three separate interviews on three separate days to the same 60 Minutes anchor who continued to ask her questions that flat out embarrassed her.
Right. In each location, too.
In
it's,
each location.
It's not as if... It's not as if
right, it was
she
the final
went,
interview
it,
where
right,
she
it's,
went
it's
for
not
it.
As if she, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, like Leslie Stahl really laid it on her in the final right. location. She said something ridiculous in each location.
In every single location. So after the first location, she should have been like, that's enough, Leslie Stahl.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I see what you're doing here.
Right.
I have now fully realized that I know nothing. And
but did you think
we're not
she had a little bit of Bachman in her?
Yes,
where
she does. Well,
she's
I said
patronizing
last night. We were watching clips of this last night, and I was like, she has, and also with the eyes.
Yeah, with
she
the,
has
eyes.
The eyes.
She has the eyes. She has crazy
the Republican
eyes.
Crazy
eyes. Yeah.
Lady crazy eyes.
But she, it was like, she was so patronizing and confident as she was saying non-sentences.
Yes.
In a way that Michelle Bachman does.
That's right.
Not even like, Sarah Palin is like speaking in poetry, so I don't mean right. to suggest that Sarah Palin has this quality, because she
no.
doesn't even have words. Michelle
right.
Bachman often has the tone of someone who's saying something normal
right.
and is just
I mean,
not...
She's a woman who went to law school,
yeah,
Michelle Bachman.
Exactly. She's very well-read, as we learned when she correctly cited multiple books about American history
right.
when we saw her speak.
Yeah.
It's just that she took the wrong message from every single one of them. And that's kind of like the issue that we have here.
Yeah.
Where Betsy DeVos is good at speaking in a tone that would lead you to believe
that
she knows
what
she's
talking
about. But the problem is there are no words coming out in the tone. She's just saying random words
that's
in a
right.
tone. That
yeah.
sounds like a competent person.
Right.
But it wasn't hard for people to notice
no.
in the course of this interview that none of the words were the right
That's
words.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, she basically doesn't know what schools are.
No.
She doesn't know what her plan is for schools.
No.
She said the word choice repeatedly, but couldn't explain how it worked.
That's right.
She couldn't explain if it's working in the one state where she installed
right.
it already.
She had no idea what the schools in Michigan look
like
these days.
Right.
She has not been to a failing school ever, intentionally.
Intentionally, yeah. But as Leslie Stahl said,
maybe
she maybe
should.
And then she agreed.
Yeah, I should. You're right. You know what? That's a great idea, Leslie Stahl. I should
that.
Go to schools.
I had not thought of that. It's so good that you're here at this third interview where I've made a fool of myself. Once again... To
yeah.
remind me about what my job is.
That's right.
I'm a cabinet secretary. My name's Betsy DeVos. Like what? What's the latest on Pennsylvania?
Boy, oh, boy. It is a real barn burner. Let me tell you what's happening right now. 98% of precincts are fully reporting.
Oh, my God.
And it is 49.9% Connor Lamb to 49.5%
no!
Rick. And that is less... than 1,000 votes. That is 700 votes.
Jesus Christ.
700 votes.
Come
yeah.
on.
There's only a handful of precincts.
Well, let's tell the people who these people are.
Yes, let's do it.
So this begins with the GOP rep Tim Murphy, who you may remember when he resigned in disgrace last year after having an affair and then forcing the mistress to have an abortion.
That's right.
Even though he
pro-life.
Is pro-life. As you, obviously.
Obviously. Of course.
Why would we have to explain that to you?
Right.
So the race is between Connor Lamb, who's a Democrat and a former federal prosecutor.
Yep.
And like God's perfect candidate.
Right.
He's
right.
like kind of handsome in the way that politicians are handsome, but
right.
not in a threatening way.
He's moderate in an annoying way that
right.
can win in this district.
Exactly. He's just sort of like
yeah.
they found the perfect candidate.
Right.
And
wants
then,
to make sure all of these people who live on the border with West Virginia can still keep their guns. I mean, he sort of is
he's
like
a nightmare person in many respects, but
right.
just sort of like it's surprising when the Democrats find a candidate
yes.
that so perfectly encapsulates
yeah.
everything that's both wrong and right for the district.
Right.
And, like, that is what they found in him.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Rick Saccone is a state legislator and an
right.
Air Force vet who is kind of mean-looking.
I said to you, on my way over here, as I was, like, looking at articles about this race, I was like, I have something really terrible to say. Because ugly people can be lawmakers, too.
Sure.
Ugly people can do anything that they set their mind
right.
to.
I reminded Brent about Trey Gowdy when he said
that. There are a lot of... like, very terrible-looking people in Congress. It's,
yeah,
it's
on both
where,
sides.
It's where you want to go if you're...
It's
what
Hollywood,
it,
for,
Hollywood
ugly
for ugly people. There you go. So, I mean, I get it. And I realize it's also insensitive of me to be saying things like that. And so, you know, listeners, I apologize. But that is a man that you don't want to have to be looking at for however long you elect him for. Yeah.
It's only a few months in this case.
It's only a few months because in November, there's a new map and you have to run all over again. So that sucks for whoever wins. But regardless, yes.
He has a Voldemort-y quality to him.
Very Voldemort-y quality, you know? Yes.
Uh-huh. And he can't help it. No. But he could help being an asshole.
He could. Yes.
So there is something to that.
Yes.
But so, like we said, this is a sort of blue-collar district that Trump won by 20 points.
Yep.
The GOP is now calling it a Democratic district.
That's right.
That's how close the race got.
And the knives have been out for Saccone or Saccone or whatever the hell his name is, who's the Republican here, for a while. Like, I mean, people have been really throwing him under the bus. The Republicans,
he's barely fundraising. He can't raise any money.
No, and they've supposedly been there on multiple occasions to, like, try and get him to fundraise, and he's just basically, like, choosing not to. So, like, all of the national Republicans have been spending, like, every dime they have.
They spent, $10 million in the district.
At one point in this race, they were outspending Lamb 17-1.
Yeah.
And it was all money coming in from elsewhere because this guy was just literally not asking anybody for money.
Yeah. Just like a guy who's, like, hanging out in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Like, saying vaguely objectionable things.
That's right.
But meanwhile, so Trump went down there, though, to campaign for him on Saturday, which is always a dubious honor.
Boy, did he ever.
Because I'm going to just read what
CNN... Campaign rallies are really where he shines.
CNN described his speech perfectly, I think. It's largely unscripted, as he said, and it, quote, ranged and raged for more than an hour and barely mentioned Saccone until the end when Trump handed Saccone the mic and asked him to say a few words. It felt more like a therapy session with Trump venting and attacking his enemies than a political rally.
That's right.
So I've decided to pull some choice quotes because it was one of his great speeches.
Please. Yes,
it was a sort of a vintage Trump stakes
Stemminder.
Trump. Yeah. Like Boy Scouts era Trump.
Agreed.
Here's one regarding Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is the state that gave us the 45th president of the United States.
Oh, interesting.
That's him, you guys.
That's right.
Regarding the Olympics, President Moon of South Korea said, without Donald Trump, the Olympics would have been a total failure. That's true. True. And then he went on to say, it's a little hard to sell tickets when you think you're going to be nuked. He takes personal credit for that. Regarding Chuck Todd, he's a sleeping son of a bitch. Regarding Celebrity Apprentice ratings, and yes, he fit all of these things into one speech.
Oh, yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger failed when he did the show, and he was a movie star. Martha Stewart failed. Regarding complete gibberish. Did you see the other day, 96% of what they do, all I do is good stuff. The economy is the best it's ever been.
Ever.
What does that mean? That sentence doesn't have any content. Regarding Oprah, I'd love to beat Oprah. I know her weakness.
Oh, God. What is it? Tell us.
I know. I mean, I... First of all, nobody knows Oprah's weakness. That's one of the things with Oprah. That's why her approval rating is 100% of people.
Yeah.
Except, well, 99%.
It's opening weekend at the box office. Oh, ooh, zing. Okay.
Regarding the percent of women that he got in the vote, we got 52%. Right, 52. And here's a fact check that really opens up your sense of his worldview.
Yeah.
He did get 52% of white women, but he only got 41% of all women. Right. Women did not vote for Donald Trump.
He got 52% of the women that count.
That count, exactly. Regarding Maxine Waters. And Maxine Waters, a very low IQ individual. She's a low IQ individual. She can't help it.
She's black. She can't help being stupid.
Like,
is what that
first of all,
boils
those are fighting
to,
words because Maxine Waters is basically the Oprah of the Democratic Party.
That's right.
Like, she is the 100% approval rating of the Democratic Party.
Right. I know that Maxine Waters has a high IQ because she will read you.
Exactly.
So... Sorry.
Sorry about that.
That's just not true.
Regarding complete non sequiturs about talking at how loud the cheers for you are. He said, thank you. So the Democrats are a party of sanctuary cities. He literally was addressing how loud the cheers for him were.
Yeah.
Thanked everyone and then said, so the Democrats are a party of sanctuary cities.
That's right.
Regarding things that are the best. I've got all the big builders, the best ones in the world. I know the best builders. We want to use good builders, not the bad ones. Regarding thinking it's his job to entertain people instead of being the president, he said, if I came like a stiff, you guys wouldn't be here tonight. I don't know if I'm a good speaker, but every time I have 25,000 seat stadium, we fill it up. That is your job as president.
That's true.
And regarding election night, one of the greatest nights in the history of television in terms of people watching. That's my favorite. I want to call election night forever the greatest night in the history of television in terms of people watching.
People watching.
He got great ratings that night, Brent. That was a night where... The ratings were great. People tuned in.
People
to see if Donald Trump would be the president. Away. People turned on their TV sets, and it was thanks to Donald Trump.
People cried.
Yeah, it was an emotional roller coaster. It
really was
that people tuned into.
Yeah.
So it was a real, and then again, he didn't really mention why he was there until the very end. Much like the Luther Strange rally, except at least he didn't endorse his competitor.
Right.
So.
Right.
So he's getting better. He's getting more on topic.
He didn't endorse the person he was there to endorse really much either.
But. No. He just sort of mentioned that he was also in attendance that evening. Right. That was his version of endorsing.
Yeah. Oh, and hey, this guy's here.
This guy is also here. But so, highly recommend looking up all the quotes from that night, because there were more than that.
And that's just a
that was just a sampling of the glory that was that speech.
Yeah.
And if we could have Donald Trump be president in an alternate universe where all he has to do is deliver these speeches, but he's not the president.
Right.
Well, this is what you and he does. I would tune in.
Yeah. This is what
you
and I have.
It would get great ratings.
That's right.
You know what doesn't get great ratings is being a bad president. But delivering a funny speech when there's no consequences, that gets good ratings.
That's right.
Donald Trump, if you're listening.
That's why now that we don't have to actually worry about her holding elected office, you and I can really, like, laugh it up through a Sarah Palin speech.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about her.
No. But is she a great speaker? Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Great ratings.
Great ratings.
In any case, the Stormy Daniels thing also is sort of, like, simmering below the surface because it just, like, doesn't seem to go away.
She took our advice.
Yeah. Well,
smartened up
she
a little bit.
Smartened up because she'd only taken a fucking $130,000 payoff.
Yeah.
That you pay more money if you don't want someone to.
And now she realizes that she can just.
She could have millions if she worked hard enough.
Exactly.
And so instead of sitting around being like, oh, I signed an NDA. Oh, well.
Right.
She's just out there chatting it up.
Yeah.
So Trump is apparently really pissed because Sarah Huckabee Sanders admitted that he's in arbitration with Stormy Daniels.
Yeah.
Obviously, because he saw her talking and sued her. And this is recent. So he's in arbitration with her as a result of her claims about the affair, which means that he sued her after he'd already paid the $130,000.
That's right.
And to remind you, officially, Michael Cohen paid the $130,000out of his personal finances, he claims.
Yes.
Why a person would do that to pay off someone else's mistress is a mystery to all of us.
Well, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't, and that's how we know he's lying.
That's right.
But because Sanders described him, Trump, as being involved in the arbitration process, this puts him much closer to the legal process than this payoff story had painted him. So it seemed like he was only a secondary part of the story initially.
Right.
Now, if he's in arbitration with her himself, then he is in the shit.
That's right. Well, and I think what this has sort of proved for people, because, like, you know, I have seen a lot of sort of, like, people sort of, like, complaining about, like, okay, look, there are bigger things going on than this. And while, yes, I agree with that, I mean, part of what I love about this administration, I mean, even though it's terrible, is that, like, you get sort of things like this that can, like, help get you through to a degree.
Right.
Like, we should still be paying attention to the things that matter and not only focusing on Stormy Daniels.
Whether
CNN.
Porn stars were right.
But what it does prove, I think, sort of like in a bigger picture, is that he is so susceptible to sort of like being, whether it's blackmailed, I don't know if that's technically the word, but like just like what
being
to,
taken so, down
being taken to, right. Like
by dubious players that shouldn't have the power to do that.
How he even got involved in sort of like being in arbitration, like publicly with some, like, you know, low rent porn star, is like the it makes the whole it makes the Russian thing seem much more plausible.
Yes.
Like, so, well, so on some level, like, I get that it's a non-story, but it is also just sort of like you, it makes you sort of like it sort of. It's good for your perspective as a story, I think.
Sometimes you need a reminder that he is incompetent.
That's right.
In a real way.
Right.
That's what, so Brent put me on to the show Dirty Money because there's a maple syrup heist episode. Obviously, right. I was fascinated by that. But the next episode is about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it also makes this case where it's sort of like, this is a man who is easily swindled by dubious operators and easily gets drawn into things that end up sinking him.
Right.
And so he's endlessly easy to blackmail.
Right.
We could blackmail him. We don't even need to have any leverage. Like, that's like, essentially, this woman has no leverage.
That's right.
She's a porn star named Stormy Daniels who was dumb enough to take an $130,000 payoff for her story about sleeping with the president
that's
as a
it.
Porn star.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's who we're dealing with here.
That's
and
right.
yet, here
and
we
yet
are.
And yet, here we are, answering questions about it, like, in a White House press briefing.
Right. So Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti, said that the NDA that she signed, which was there was a restraining order placed on her
sure.
That was related to an NDA, And he claimed that it was invalid because Trump didn't sign it, which was, they think, right. intended to make it so that he could claim he had no information, you know, that he right. had plausible deniability yeah. about all of this. But Sanders had said that the arbitration process was going in Trump's favor.
Yeah.
And his response to that was that the president also won the popular vote. So I feel like there's too many great puns possible with Trump.
It's, boy, oh boy, oh boy. It
blows my mind a little.
Yeah.
But so Daniels filed a lawsuit this week seeking permission to speak freely about the affair with Trump. And she says that publicly disclosing the payment voids, publicly disclosing the payment that Cohen made to her voids the NDA.
Right.
So I'm curious to see what happens. But as I've said repeatedly, this is why you pay bigger bucks than that.
Right, exactly.
If you're going to pay someone off for their silence,
yeah,
pay them the market rate.
Right, exactly.
Don't try to lowball them and then be angry when they start fucking talking all over the place. Right.
When you become the president this and you've only paid a porn star $100,000 to keep your trap shut.
So much angrier than it should.
Right. Because
it's a level of incompetence yeah. where I shouldn't know
I was gonna say.
How to pay off a porn star correctly. No, obviously. This has never come up in
but
my
this,
life.
I feel
this
like
is common sense.
Right. This is one way that we know that he doesn't know how to do a good deal.
No, exactly.
This was a bad deal.
And that he can't see farther than his own nose. Because maybe he thought yeah. to himself, well, I'm getting a great deal because I'm buying her silence for $130,000 and right. didn't think maybe in 7 years
right.
she'll
I'm gonna get fucked.
Blab to everyone about this right. and I'll be the president. Like, you have to be smarter than this.
Right.
Or you have to have more than $130,000, which is another situation that I just thought of this moment.
That's right.
Maybe this was a time that Donald Trump admitted to being broke secretly to all
that's
of us.
Right.
And
there
we didn't
go.
We didn't hear him because we were too busy talking about porn
that's
stars.
It.
In any case, Trump is here today to see border wall prototypes.
Yes.
And I'm against it, and so is Kevin DeLeon.
Yes.
So
what did he say? What was his what was his quote about Trump being here and our economy?
It was one about it being the sixth biggest economy in the
right.
world. What is it?
Our economy is bigger than Russia's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Right. California's economy is larger than Vladimir Putin's Russia's.
Yeah.
Russia.
Yeah.
But so he has been wandering around the state just mostly to antagonize everyone in California.
Yep.
He's not meeting with Jerry Brown or anyone from the California government.
Of course not.
He's just here to look at border wall prototypes and then go to
money.
A fundraiser.
Yeah.
First of all, who is at this fundraiser? Can
right?
we reveal their identities? And who can get them kicked out of California.
Right,
because
exactly.
I would not be seen going into a Donald Trump fundraiser
no.
in Beverly Hills.
No, you can't
I know
be.
That that's rich old Republicans.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I would not allow myself to be publicly seen entering no. or exiting that affair.
No, you can't.
Not even as a caterer. I mean,
no.
I would be afraid to be in the building
nope.
for that.
Nope, nope, nope.
And
nope,
I know
nope, nope.
that there are idiots in Hollywood. I'm not a fool.
Yeah, of course.
You know, there are idiots
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah.
But this is a dangerous time to be going to a Donald Trump fundraiser in Beverly Hills.
It really is.
I
yeah.
just like
you have
this
to be
is,
going under the sort of like
this is
cloak
an
of
industry
darkness.
Based on connections.
Yeah,
you could be blackballed from Hollywood for this.
Yeah,
and you should be.
yeah, there.
Because if
is.
You're supporting Donald Trump, you're being an asshole.
That's right.
And in final yeah. news, is Jeff Flake running for president? Is that why he's leaving the Senate?
Maybe.
Nobody knows.
Nobody
he
knows.
He won't say that it's not why he's leaving the Senate.
No.
He won't say anything.
Because he was on Meet the Press this week, and Chuck Todd asked him if somebody should run in a primary against Donald Trump.
And he said yes.
He sure did.
That's right. And so now everyone's convinced he's running.
Yeah.
But he needs a hobby. He's leaving the Senate. He's pretty young.
Yeah.
He's not.
And maybe he should.
Yeah. I feel
you
like
know?
He could remind us how the Republican Party used to be objectionable.
I was going to say, he can, you know, it might be nice to see, you know, the span
yes.
of awfulness that
yes.
they encompass.
Yeah.
Because Donald Trump gave us a different brand of awfulness. And we've been hearing a lot from the sort of like old guard about, you know, how he doesn't really stand for what Republicans stand for. So let's remember all of the other horrible things that Republicans stand
yeah.
for by way of Jeff Flake.
Exactly. And let's do it in a context where there's somebody also from the Democratic Party to explain everything.
That's right. Yes.
I want this to happen in a way where someone is also there to provide commentary. Because
that's
remember
right.
how George Bush started to look so great to everyone after Donald Trump became the president? And I
right.
was like,
no,
he was a bad president, you
right.
guys.
Yes.
We all knew that up until this year.
Yes.
Like, we need someone to offer that kind of narration.
That's right. We do.
Before we go, give us one more update about the Pennsylvania primaries.
Oh, God. It's like still basically tied.
This is a nightmare.
It is.
Don't they know the podcast is ending?
Okay. 98% of precincts are fully reporting.
Jesus
and
Christ.
It is still 49.9 to 49.5. It is 750 votes in favor of the Democrats.
You guys, every vote counts. This is an argument for voting, if ever there was one.
Is.
You have to show up because you might be in this weird part of Pennsylvania one day.
The only few places that are still outstanding are from the two counties that the Republican has been winning.
Damn it.
But there's only a few precincts left.
And there's not that many people in those counties.
Right. So right, exactly. So
you guys, this is
it really could
even closer than Alabama was.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
This
I mean, this is gonna be, I think it probably
will go to recount.
I would assume so. I mean, I don't know what their recount rules are, but in most places it's definitely if it's within a percent.
Yeah. And the good news is it doesn't matter.
Because there you
this
go.
Is an 8-month term at most.
You know what? Regardless of what happens after we hit stop on this podcast,
we won.
We flipped 20 percentage points.
Yeah. There are many counties out there who voted for Trump in under 20 percentage points.
That's right.
So
yeah.
A lot of the country, if the entire country shifted 20 points.
Right. If you wake up tomorrow morning and Rick Saccone is the new congressperson from this district, do not fret.
No. First of all, he's barely going to be the congressperson from this district.
Right. He's going to last about 6 months.
Right. Which is the same for the Democrat. So don't get too excited if he wins either, because he's got to run again.
There it is.
But either way, it's it's kind of like what happened in that first Kansas race. Where it was all of a sudden they flipped a district they didn't flip a district, but they, in Kansas, lost 7 points or something like that.
Yeah.
And that is what we're witnessing here.
Yep.
We're witnessing a transition.
That's right.
But
yes, we are.
If this is teaching you anything, it's that you still have to show up to vote.
That's right.
So don't forget about the midterms.
Yeah, I know. And
your primary might be coming up because they're all coming up
now. And the other thing that I would sort of like to just remind people of is that, you know, we've only had one Senate seat, I believe, for maybe there's, I don't know. But I mean, we've seen so many congressional districts sort of either flip or not fully flip, but go so far in the opposite direction. Don't let anybody tell you that we also can't get the Senate back.
Yeah, we can get anything we set our minds to back.
People are sort of out there being all right, we can maybe actually get the House back. Fuck that. Let's get everything back. If all of the districts in Pennsylvania do this, then Hillary Clinton would have won by all the points in Pennsylvania. And then she'd be the president.
We have Senate seats that are going up right now that are, you know, likely to go Republican. But we also have some that are likely to change. Blank seat is a toss-up right now.
Yeah.
You know, don't let anyone tell you Arizona can't go blue.
That's right.
Arizona can go blue anytime it sets its mind to it.
Don't anybody tell you Texas can't go blue.
No, Texas.
Apparently, Ted Cruz is panicked down there, by the way.
Also, Texas used to have a Democratic governor.
That's right.
Texas can go blue.
Yeah.
So don't.
And that guy's out fundraising, Ted Cruz, down there.
Beto.
So yeah, don't.
They're having a war of the nicknames down there, so it's getting.
We've learned some things tonight, regardless of not learning what the result is.
Right. This race. Take away from this podcast that the results are less important than the journey.
There it is.
But that's
such a
journey
is
also important.
Put that on a poster with a picture of a long winding road or something
like that. That's right. And a llama.
Fine.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.